We live in a mission field, a world that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. There's no field today that has more opportunities than working for the good of the kingdom of God, helping people to understand who Jesus is. And I'd say that there's nothing greater that we can do in our life than to become a saint, or help others become saints. That's something that we're all called to do, to work to bring about the kingdom of God. Sometimes it feels like people don't want to join the church except on their own terms. You know, they want to be Catholic when they get married, when they have a baptism, when someone in the family dies. But our faith is meant to be lived every day, every day. And there are so many people out there who are estranged from the church, who have never really been in the church, we might say. And sometimes I can kind of feel like Darth Vader trying to convert them, right? I am your father. No, I'll never join you, you know? That's what it feels like sometimes. And I'm sure we've all had that experience of trying to bring somebody to Jesus, and they just don't want to join us, and they feel like they're joining the dark side. Well, we don't want to force people to be Catholic. We want them to be willingly choosing this life, this beautiful life that we're called to live. And when we make that choice, all of these particular moments, baptism, weddings, funerals, these sacramental moments, they have much more meaning, much more fruitfulness if they are lived in the context of everyday faith. So we need a generation to rise up. We need a generation that will respond to the deep revealed truths of our faith and to live by them and radically call humanity back to our Heavenly Father. We need a generation of married couples, of priests, of religious, of dedicated Catholics who are willing to live totally dedicated to this mission of making Jesus known in our world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and the day of vindication by our God. These words from Isaiah call to mind not only this call of conversion, but also the words that Jesus Himself spoke in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus reads these same words and then says, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, He's saying, "I'm the one that you're waiting for." Today we hear again the voice of John the Baptist. We're kind of been following him throughout the course of this Advent season. And John's mission is to wake people up to this arrival of Jesus. He's waking the people of Israel up. He's awakening them from their stupor. You might get the feeling as though John was kind of taking a pail of water, cold water, and dumping it on somebody that's sleeping, and they are kind of shocked into the moment of being awoken in this way. And you might say, well, why would you ever do that to someone? That's cruel. That's unkind. It's unthoughtful. Unnecessary. Well, there are times when it is important to wake somebody up, and we need to do something even if it seems a little drastic. You might consider an example. You know, most of us probably in our homes, we have carbon dioxide detectors. These little units have a special function. They help us to know, you know, if carbon dioxide, you can't see it. I don't think you can smell it. I'm not a scientist, but I don't think you can smell it. And yet, if we find ourselves in an environment that is filled with too much of it, it can cause us to get sick or even die. So it can be a silent killer. So we have these detectors to help us either wake up if the levels get too high or to become aware if this gas is building up. Now it can be alarming to be awoken in such a way by an alarm, and we might not like it, but it can save our life. And so we have these things. We pay attention to the alarms. In today's world, there are many forces at work, many ideas, many philosophies that are unhealthy for us, that are slowly decaying our well-being. The spiritual health of our culture has really deteriorated over the course of years. The moral pressures that are promoted, you know, vice is promoted and virtue is kind of shunned at times. We too might need to shake ourselves awake. We might need to examine our lives. What's my environment like? What's my spiritual environment like? You know, if a person's soul is in a state of sin, they're really like the walking dead, right? Their bodies are alive, but the light of God is absent from them. Are we too worldly? Have we gotten comfortable with our sin and our vice? Have we let it penetrate into our homes, into our families, into our lives? Are our hearts and our souls a place that welcome Jesus, that have a place for the Christ child to come and remain? Do we strive to align our lives with the will of God? These are good questions for us to ask as we approach the Feast of Christmas. Today's gospel tells us that John was sent by God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. Now, he was given a specific purpose, a specific goal, a specific mission, and he was also given the necessary tools to carry out that mission. In John, we have sort of an odd coupling, we might say. He's, on the one hand, incredibly bold. He's an incredibly bold figure in the scriptures. His voice rings out, and it convicts people. If you've ever seen the movie Jesus of Nazareth, there's a scene in that movie that depicts John the Baptist confronting Herod and Herodias, who were the rulers of the area, about the fact that their marriage is unlawful. John's boldness pierces the wickedness and the misdeeds of the people of his day. And yet, coupled with that is a great humility. A great humility that is very clear that he's not after earthly power. He's not after making a name for himself. He doesn't just come with a message that to make himself feel better or give glory to himself. But it's all about pointing to Jesus. Today, in our world, we need prophets. We need prophets. Who are these prophets? We need the voices that speak the truths of the Catholic faith, voices that are formed by the teaching and the understanding of God's created world and his plan for humanity. Who are going to be these voices? Who are they? Who will stand in the prophetic role and call people back to virtue, back to faith, back to God? Society won't speak this message. Politicians, they aren't going to speak this message. The news and the media, they aren't going to speak this message. And in a sense, none of these groups are given this message to speak. It is we, the body of Christ, we, the people of God, we, the Catholic Church, we have been given this message to share. So it's ours to learn. It's ours to speak. It's ours to live. Each of us, by our baptism, has received this prophetic mission. And if we do not take up this mission of preparing the way for Jesus Christ, no one else will. It's ours. John preceded Christ, and now we are the heirs of this message. It is our inheritance to be prophets and prepare the way for Jesus Christ, to enter into the lives of the people of the world. So the question is, will you be a prophet? Is that something you're willing to do? Is that something you're willing to live out? Will you give yourself to this life lived in Christ in a humble submission to his will, and at the same time boldly speak the message, turning people back to God, a message that our world so desperately needs? On this third Sunday of Advent, let's rejoice in the fact that God has given us many gifts. And let us also take up this task which has been entrusted to us. May we boldly proclaim Jesus, in yet an humble way that gives all the glory to God and takes none for ourselves. Lord God, whose we are and whom we serve, help us to glorify you this day in all the thoughts of our hearts, in all the words of our lips, in all the works of our hands, as becomes those who are your servants. Come, Lord Jesus, come.